Good morning, everyone. We come today to the third Sunday in Advent, and do you notice anything different in the church this morning on this third Sunday of Advent? The pink, pink hangings, pink vestments. This is sometimes called Rose Sunday. Because of the pink vestments, you might also notice the flowers instead of the usual greens we have at this time of year. We have the roses. This is also sometimes known as Gaudete Sunday. This is a Sunday where we rejoice. We look ahead at the near coming of the Christ child, and we rejoice at what is to come. And so the tradition in the church was to begin this service with an introit that began, "Rejoice in the Lord always," or "Gaudete in Domino sempre." So "Gaudete" means rejoice. And so we remember on this Sunday the joy to come.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of repentance? Do not your ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we? What should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water. But one is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God of joyful expectation, God of hope and promise, God of outpouring love, draw us ever closer to you in our walk, that in all we say and all we do, we may always reflect the abundance of your compassionate heart. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. With the great advance of science, and with the help of a fertility specialist, a 65-year-old woman in one of our Green Valley neighborhoods had a baby. A brand new spanking baby, a little girl, 65. All her relatives came to visit and to meet this newest member of the family. When they asked to see the baby, the 65-year-old mother said, oh no, not yet. So a little while later, after visiting a while, they said, "Can we see the baby?" And she said, "Nah, not quite yet." Well, finally, after a little while more, they said, "Well, when can we see the baby?" And the mother said, "You can see the baby when the baby cries." And they said, "Well, why do we have to wait until the baby cries?" And the new mother said, "Because I forgot where I put it."
Oh,
weren't expecting that one, were you? I have a few stories to share with you. 7-year-old Quinn had been best friends with a boy named Braden since kindergarten. Braden had cerebral palsy and had to have surgery that would have cost his parents $15,000. Quinn sprung into action and opened up a lemonade stand in their hometown, which was about the same size as Green Valley. Together, the two boys worked on this booth over the weekend, selling glasses of lemonade to generate funds so that Braden's parents... In addition, Quinn's mother created an online fundraising campaign, which together now has garnered about $50,000, far surpassing the original goal and hope of $20,000. Carol and Willie Fowler had gone to great lengths and expense for the wedding reception of their only daughter. They never revealed why, but the wedding was called off 40 days before the event. Not wanting their reservation to go to waste, the couple invited 200 of Atlanta's destitute to join them. At first, the staff at the charity called Hosea Feed the Hungry thought that the offer to feed the attendees a lavish 4-course meal was a prank. It wasn't. The reception went on, albeit with a different list of invitees, and the Fowlers were very involved in the whole event and enjoyed greeting all of their guests. Grant Heidi, a big, hairy, tattooed-up biker wearing black clothing on a freezing, wet, cold night, ran out of gas on his way home. He was forced to pull his bike off the road, not even sure what road it was. Happens that a mother with a 4-year-old daughter spotted him, and she stopped to make sure that he was okay. He said, "My goggles were frozen, and so were my hands and my beard," and there was a picture of him, this big, giant, long beard. He says, "I was in a pitiful state, and I had no cash to even offer for any kind of repayment." He explained to her what happened, and so she offered to go grab some gas. She happened to have a gas can in her vehicle, and she spent the last few cents that she had left over from doing her laundry to get him gasoline into his bike so that he could get home to his family. Mitchell Marcus of El Paso, Texas, is a huge fan of basketball, loved basketball. He was chosen as the team manager for his high school team, the Coronado Thunderbirds. He was well-liked by all of his teammates, and they appreciated his great love for the game. Mitchell Marcus is developmentally disabled. During the last game of the season, with less than 2 minutes left on the clock, the coach, Peter Morales, asked Marcus to suit up and step into the game. His team was only leading by 10 points at that time. The teammates passed Marcus the ball several times throughout those last minutes, but he kept missing the ball or he'd accidentally kick it out of bounds, which then turned the ball over to the opposing team with just seconds left. Coach Morales said he didn't mind. If necessary, he was ready to lose the game. He knew that Mitchell wasn't going to be able to score, but he was hoping that he was happy that he was just put in the game. Then the unexpected happened. Only seconds left. Jonathan Montañez, a senior on the opposing team, wanted to also give Marcus one last opportunity to score. So having the ball in his possession, he called out Marcus's name and passed the ball right into Marcus's hands. Marcus turned around and scored. Montañez said, "I was raised to treat others how you want to be treated. I just thought Mitchell deserved his chance, his opportunity." There was a man sent from God whose name was John, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. We know from reading the Gospels that this John proclaimed with fiery language. In the fiery language, say that three times fast. The fiery language that come from his lips is what I've talked about. And its use in prophetic exhortations like we hear from John are meant to stir us to the possibilities of what is to come. It involves an eschatological awareness. Use that in a sentence this week. All it really means is that it points us to the reality of the end times. John, in a nutshell, is saying to us, be ready. Be ready for what is to come. Be ready for the one who is to come. In today's gospel, as I was reading it, John makes two really important points. Those two points are grounded in the assumption that all people are called to examine their relationship with God and to make that relationship a priority. He uses the image of the axe cutting at the roots to call forth a rerooting in our lives, a rerooting of our lives as children of God, new roots that bear fruit. John calls people forth to baptism as a sign of that direction in their lives. So the two points he makes, the first one is this: you can't assume. You can't assume that because you are children of Abraham that you're A-okay with God. And further, you can't assume that because you come forward for this baptism that you're A-okay with God. Neither of these will exempt anyone from the judgment that is to come, says John. The time of judgment is near, in John's prophetic words, and that judgment will not be determined on the basis of religious, cultural, or ethnic identity. As a matter of fact, if John were standing in this pulpit today, John would say and warn us too that calling ourselves Christian does not win us any special privilege. So, on what basis can we find hope when we are to face a final judgment in that eschatological time, that end time? Well, this is the second point. John's second point is, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Judgment, in other words, will be determined by our conduct, not by being an ancestor of Abraham, not by being baptized itself, but by our conduct. The crowd say, well, then what shall we do? And the answer, if you heard it when I was reading it, was pretty simple. First, he says to all of the people that are gathered there, and he's not directing this just to the religious leadership, to all the people that are gathered there, he's basically saying that regardless of your socioeconomic status, who have not. To the tax collectors, he said, be fair. To the soldiers, he said, don't bully. Now, I started the sermon with some amazing stories of small things that people have done in answer to that question posed to John. What shall we do? Taking to heart the preaching of John and the teaching of Jesus does not require of us heroic acts of bravery and notoriety. Sometimes we think too big. Opportunities abound. We are surrounded by them every day. They are presented through the context of daily living and the people that we meet every single day as we go about the business of living our lives. So in that context, what shall we do? Well, who do you know that needs a warm embrace? Who needs us to stop and to listen for a while? Who can we pay attention to in the coffee shop or in the line at the grocery store? Is there someone in the parking lot who could use our attention? Have you noticed that maybe your neighbor is slowing down? Do they need help with shopping or maybe even just getting the mail? Is this time of year particularly difficult for somebody you know? Or someone you may not know well, but who lives down the street? What can you do to let them know that you care? A card? A flower? A smile? None of those cost very much. In October, a little boy who has a heart bursting with empathy raised more than $4,000 and a carload of gifts for another little boy whose family lost most of their belongings to the devastating floods in Louisiana. In August of that year, a 5-year-old New Jersey boy used his own allowance to treat his local police officers to lunch. In the spring, a 9-year-old in Missouri opened a lemonade stand to help his foster parents pay for his adoption fees so that he could stay with them forever. The boy only needed $5,000 for those fees and ended up with more than $7,000 so that he could stay with his new parents in the place that he now calls home. In the blistering summer heat, two young men in Alabama went around their community and mowed the lawns of single mothers and the elderly who needed some landscaping services, all for free. A young boy who celebrated his bar mitzvah in March donated the gifts he received to a burn victim he knew in a local hospital. In August, a North Carolina 10-year-old didn't want presents for his birthday. Instead, he asked for shoes to give to needy kids in his community. Fruits worthy of repentance. What are ours? Amen. And let us go forth bearing fruit in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.